Doc was squinting in a tiny box almost immediately below the garage.
What in perdition does that say? I swear that my sight is becoming more erratic with every waking day.
But everyone had turned away. Abe and JB shared disappointment that the weapons section was no more. Mildred was upset at the clearing of the pharmacy and the hospital. Dean's face had fallen at the realization that there would be no fresh food supplies here.
Shame about the library.
Records would have been good to see. Clues about what really went down here.
Ryan shook his head.
My dear Ryan.
What is it?
Over here, by the maps.
One second, old man.
What does this say down here? It doesn't seem to have been evacuated like the rest of the complex, does it?
Ryan found the faint lettering difficult to read.
No, not cleared. It says it was the Crontemp section, Doc.
He glanced sideways at the old man.
Oh.
Doc?
But Doc had disappeared, falling to the floor in some sort of a faint or a fit. His eyes rolled back to show the whites, his mouth open, his perfect teeth gleaming in the neon light. They propped him up, and JB supported Doc's head in his lap. Mildred quickly brought him around, slapping the old man gently across the face, talking to him.
Come on, Doc. You're all right.
There was a convulsive shudder that made everyone jump, and Doc's watery blue eyes opened, clouded with a look of fear.
A feeble touch of the female vapors. I must apologize to you all.
Tanner moved his head to seek out Ryan.
Did I understand you to say that this redoubt contains a section? A section with the nomenclature of Crontemp?
Yeah.
Merciful saints.
What is it, Doc?
Christy was kneeling by him, holding Doc's veined hand in hers.
Something to do with time?
Everything to do with time. With Kronos, dark lord of things temporal, but not spiritual. Chaos loosed from the abyss.
Ryan was struggling to make some kind of sense out of the babbling rush of words.
Slow down, Doc, slow down.
Time present and past and time future are all... Tomorrow's just another now, my dear friends. It's the same, you see. What I endured is here as well, here.
You mean this is a time-trolling operation, Doc?
Ryan turned to the others, his face showing his own amazement.
You hear that, people?
JB shook his head and tapped a finger to his temple.
You believe that I have mislaid a few of my marbles, do you, John Barrymore? Is there another person living on the planet who would know better than I what I'm talking about? Of course, there is not. The trolling department was labeled Crontemp as its official name, just like the Mattrans units for making jumps in space. Only these evil places were for making jumps in time.
Why don't we go to the garage and see if there's any wags left?
Nobody took any notice of the boy, and he sulked off to the side of the passage, kicking his feet at the wall. He looked above him at some gray netting that seemed to be hung from the ceiling. It trailed off around a corner, along one of the other passages, and Dean began to follow it. None of the others saw him go. They were all much too locked into this amazing discovery.
It could be an amazing discovery. Just because it says it hasn't been cleared doesn't mean it actually hasn't.
Nor does it mean it's functioning.
I know, John. The idea of finding a time jump unit still here and working is simply too damned astounding.
You got that right, Millie.
I don't get it.
What, my dear chap?
Time travel.
What about it?
The whole damn thing. I don't get it.
Doc rose majestically to his feet, taking his cane from Christie's hand.
But precisely what do you not comprehend, Abraham?
You were saying you were pulled to the future?
Indeed, yes.
Abe nodded.
Right, I got that, but what if I go back in time?
What of that?
Well, suppose I meet myself. Can I tell me to be careful not to get an arrow in my neck in the darks? Can I do that, Doc?
Doc smiled.
Time travel is fraught with anomalies, rife with absurd and fascinating contradictions.
Like if I go back and murder Mother Sonia before I'm born, then I won't exist. But if I don't exist...
Then how can you go back in time to kill your own mother? Wow, that's amazing, Christy. That one of those anomaly things you talk about, Doc?
Yes. It is perhaps the best known of them all, Abe. Yet we are wasting time here talking when we should be walking.
I could stop my mother and father ever meeting.
You know who they were, Abe?
Oh, that's funny. Of course I know they were. My father was... My mother was... Shit, I don't know.
Well, it shouldn't be difficult to find the Krontep section from this map. You sure you want to do this, Doc?
More than anything I've wanted in many a long month of living and partly living. Let us proceed.
Why not? Everyone ready?
Ryan looked around.
Where's Dean? Anybody see him? Fire blast. He should know better than to go wandering off.
The spiders weren't that big. The largest of them was barely the size of a small mongrel dog, about 18 inches in height and barely 15 inches across the body, though the spiny legs made it closer to 2.5 feet from clawed toe to clawed toe. But there were at least 10 scores of these spiders, 100 yards along the passage. A couple of hundred. Ryan was first around the bend, seeing that the corridor had widened into a dome-roofed cavern around 80 feet high, with a number of side tunnels opening off it. The initial impression was of whiteness, shifting, stirring whiteness, like a wind on a patio blowing through mounds of dry, powdery snow, making it move and swirl as if it had life.
What the hell?
Ryan also registered the strange fact that the distant ceiling was festooned with something that his eye took for mounds of Spanish moss, dangling pale and leprous in coils. Against the right-hand wall was Dean Carter, his feet kicking and stamping, maintaining a small circle of clear floor away from the shifting bank of snow.
Spiders.
Albino arachnids scuttled busily toward the trapped boy, their bodies covered in a sheen of needle-fine hairs, yellow eyes glowing in the overhead lights. Dozens more cascaded down the walls from their maze of linked webs that filled the roof void high above.
Oh, dude, look at all these fucking bats!
Oh, watch it, Abe.
Sorry, bud.
Help me, Dad!
Dean had enough control and sense to know that any attempt to draw his Browning or try to use a knife would give the banks of creatures the opportunity to close with him. Once they reached his ankles, it would only be a heartbeat before they had scuttled up his legs, over his chest, to attack his exposed neck and face. He kept kicking and banging with his boots, making enough sound and fury to hold the susurration of spiders away from him. But it could only be seconds before they overcame their fear. The rest of the companions pulled up behind Ryan.
Gaia.
The appearance of the group distracted the spiders. Hundreds of eyes turned toward them, and for a silent moment, the entire snowy army seemed to freeze into stillness.
Dad?
That seemed to snap Ryan out of it.
Put some lead into them and into the webs. I'll get the kid.
JB was fastest, firing single-spaced rounds from the Uzi into the motionless morass of tarantulas. Christy leveled her double-action Smith & Wesson 640, aiming and pulling down. Each 38 round ripped into the spiders, pulping flesh. Doc used the Lamaze 63 caliber scattergun round with a devastating effect, clearing a gap the size of a dining table. Abe pointed his Uzi upward and squirted off a dozen bullets into the ghostly webs, the 9mm rounds igniting the frail, dry tendrils, turning the roof into a blazing torch. Ryan didn't hesitate, throwing the rifle off his shoulders, holstering the Sig Sauer as he started to power himself toward his son. He drew his Panga.
Stay there!
He didn't try to jump over the living carpet, knowing that it would be fatally simple to slip in pulped corpses. Once down, it would be unlikely that he would ever rise again. Bits of flaming web were already falling about him, some of it catching fire on the hairy bodies of the scuttling creatures. Dean was facing Ryan, his mouth half open, eyes staring with a barely controlled fear. His arms were lifted toward his father. The spiders were scattering away from his rushing charge toward the boy. A few, bolder than the rest, tried to attack Ryan, springing upward knee high. But Ryan was ready for them. He hacked down with his Panga to cut away any of the vicious muties. Their blood was a colorless ichor that spurted from their sliced flesh, dappling Ryan's hand, burning like acid.
Get on my back, Dean!
Ryan half turned to give the boy a chance to vault onto him, balancing himself.